This is my best friend, Garth Algar.
Hi.
I think we'll go with a little Bohemian Rhapsody, gentlemen.
Good call.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango? Thunderbolts and lightning.
All right, 720 WGN on the road with Dan here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And you think about it, even a movie like that, Wayne's World, right? It wasn't it was a buddy film for sure, right? There was a little bit of music in there. There was some cable television, I think, that was on it, a love story or two, and a fully stocked and functional Babe Lair with Rob Lowe. Was he in that? Right, okay. Yeah, so we had a lot of different components, but also the car was kind of central to it. And you look at a movie like that, and we've gotten some other, from the 847, a suggestion of Christine, and then also from the 630 Christine, which is a totally different movie. You've got basically a horror movie based around a car, then something really goofy and ridiculous like Talladega Nights, Bullet with Steve McQueen. We got so many different ways when you think about it, just as the car is such a big part of our lives and kind of our histories. Same with the movies. On the line with us, we've got a guy that has his hand on the pulse in the steering wheel of all things movies on a regular basis. It's Blake Stubbs. Blake, welcome to WGN.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be on in the afternoon. I was on at 3 a.m. this morning, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to be on again in 12 hours, and that is awesome.
Well, you have to plan your schedules, but here we broke it up a little bit where you're at least getting kind of a – you don't have to have your hand on the entire cinematic world. You can just focus on what is still a big and important part, but is kind of car movies and car scenes in movies.
Absolutely. And you know, I was trying to, it was crazy because I started breaking down a list and right before I came on, you guys started, you know, talking about movies with great scenes in cars. Meanwhile, I'm like trying to make this list over the last few days, you know, try to whittle it down because there's so many movies where cars are important. You know, some cases where cars are almost as important as the actors in the film because they're so iconic. They create such an image that people, you know, they want to buy that car. And then, you know, that particular maker of that model, they sell a huge amount that year or something crazy along those lines. But then you have, you know, great race movies. You have also great chase movies. So, I mean, I tried to categorize it because I know a lot of ideas are going to come up, you know, when people think car movies.
You can't, so. Blake, you cannot. You talk about whittling it down. It's almost impossible because the more you think about it, kind of the bigger that the whole list get, and a lot of them have, they can make a good case for being included in it. You know, I just thought of, would you say like Herbie the Love Bug? That was a huge, huge movie. And so let's go back to the first thing that you talked about, which is, you know, movies or cars that are in movies that then kind of translate into their presence on the road. Is that something that you see? And I know that you had on the list, and we'll talk about that one first, like Smokey and the Bandit was, I mean, that basically, that is, you know, one of the legendary cars of the last maybe, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. And it was, I don't know if that entire demand, but certainly the fame of that car was born in that film.
Absolutely. I mean, okay, so here's the other thing, too. And before I really get into this subject, I want everybody to know that while I do know these movies, I don't always know the exact cars. So I had fun looking up a majority of, like, the year, the model, the make, and then I learned something, you know, preparing for this segment. But the 77 Trans Am was on the map, thanks to Smokey and the Bandit. I mean, it was a cool car. But it was one of those things where the movie is this gigantic almost ad showing, you know, the horsepower and the speed and the maneuverability of this vehicle. I mean, it's outrunning the police the entire film. It's doing huge jumps and crazy things that, you know, back then they didn't have CGI. There were no special effects. They had to actually have the cars be able to do what you see them do on screen. And so the Trans Am became one of the coolest cars, one of the most iconic. In fact, my parents went on their first date to see Smokey and the Bandit. I don't necessarily know if they were aware of what they were going to see at the time, but I know that, you know, I brought up I was going to talk about that. My mom, first thing out of her mouth was, you know, that's the movie your dad and I went to on our first date. And my dad will still talk about how cool the Trans Am was. So I know that, like, you know, generationally, you know, if younger people are starting to see movies like Smokey and the Bandit, they're going to remember a car like that. because of how, one, how cool it looked, and two, all the cool stuff that the car did in the film.
Well, you think about it, like, and what are the essential elements to a great car film? For Smokey and the Bandit, you had the car, and then you had really a great actor of the time, you know, the leading box office star of the time, Burt Reynolds, right? Then you had Jackie Gleason mm-hmm. in there as the always stymied state trooper, and then you had the music too, right? You had the CB thing and the trucking thing kind of came, like all those different elements that were sort of trending at the time were together in that movie, plus a few laughs. And I think there was a love story. Wasn't like Sally Field in that?
Sally Field. Yeah. I was going to say one of the most likable women to ever walk in front of a camera. She even talked about that, you know, when she won her award. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, Jerry Reed's music is another big thing because, you know, the whole racing culture in this country, you know, you were just talking to Kenny Wallace, you know, St. Louis, Missouri guy who's talking about how his whole family, you know, he felt like they were rednecks, but like the whole Southern trend of racing sort of permeated throughout that film also due to the fact that country, you know, Western music was a big part of it as well, thanks to Jerry Reed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that movie was one of those things that was so set in its time, but for some reason has stayed ageless. You could put on Smokey and the Bandit or a movie like it, or even another movie such as like Bullet, you know, where the Ford Mustang GT was the go-to vehicle. And the way that they filmed those types of films, you know, with actual stunt drivers, or in the case of Bullet, Steve McQueen doing
yes.
all of his own, you know, insisting that he does his own driving. It definitely can permeate for a long time with audiences, regardless of their generation, because it just looks so cool. And I'm not saying go out and repeat what you see on camera, but it sort of invigorated audiences to think, wow, I could get behind the wheel and learn how to do that too. And so it became a very easy to relate to type of film or thing to, you know, learn about, you know, cars, not just the actors playing the parts and the movies and the stories, but also the element within the film that helps, no pun intended, drive the narrative.
847 put in for the 68 Mustang from Steve McQueen, Bullet 2. And as I was talking to people this week, there were a couple people who mentioned that, but really it was one of the first kind of situations where you had product placement, where you could see it up on the screen, and it mm-hmm. really translated into what people for a big ticket item would buy and then go ahead and use. And then it kind of, you know, Burt Reynolds, he's been in a bunch of different movies, of course, you know, and a great star, and he's got good range and in all those different things that he's done. But then mm-hmm. he followed it up with like a completely ridiculous movie that was also a pretty decent hit, Cannonball Run.
Cannonball Run. Yeah. And that also had a sequel. In fact, I believe Jackie Chan's first exposure to American audiences was in the Cannonball Run franchise.
Yes, it was.
So, I mean, you know, this is one of those crazy things where, like, Burt Reynolds behind the wheel of a car was probably the movie pitch. And then off they went, you know, and they found a way to turn it into this sort of it's a madman, madman world, you know, this wild madcap, big bunch of stars, race film. And in the end, it ends up being iconic in its own right. You know, not so much like, you know, the car itself being, you know, the most iconic thing, like, say, Smokey and the Bandit, but definitely one of those things where, you know, people craved horsepower. They wanted speed. They wanted action. And the action doesn't have to be buildings blowing up and guns being fired. It just has to be this high-octane feel. And, you know, you got that in movies like Grand Prix with James Garner, which, by the way, I was reading up, you know, Steve McQueen apparently was absolutely furious that he lost out on the lead role in Grand Prix to James Garner. I mean, he basically said, I do all my own driving. I do everything. Well, then he went off and made a movie called Le Mans, which, if you're not familiar with, is also one of those pinnacle racing films. It takes place in the 70s. So, you know, in the time that it was made. So, I mean, these are all different types of, you know, ways that they made cars such an important part of, you know, telling great stories.
Well, here's the thing, too. It isn't like superhero movies are all about superheroes and they've got superpowers and they're always cool. You've got some of these movies and like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is about, I mean, it's a flying mm-hmm. car, so I guess that is a superpower, but they're not always like, you know, just incredibly, you know, big horsepower cars or modern day cars. It's really gone the gamut. So you have some of those old muscle cars from the past. And then you get into some of the foreign cars and some of those ones, you know, with the drifting and the Fast and Furious, you know, where the yep. car is a central element, but the car is so interchangeable.
Yeah, they are. And I was going to say, the thing about the Fast and the Furious franchise, which I think makes it interesting, at least for audiences, and why people keep buying tickets, and they do, they buy tickets to see those movies, is the fact that all these different characters within the series, you know, we have repeat actors in parts, you know, and of course the tragic death of Paul Walker pulls his character out of that. But each character sort of has their own type of car that they're known for. You know, Vin Diesel has always driven a muscle car in the series, whereas Paul Walker was always driving, you know, sort of the really tricked out, you know, like street racing cars. And then, of course, they have like Lamborghinis and things like that. And so you're able to craft characters that have their own type of vehicle. And so that lends to sort of being falling into that iconic realm. But also, you know, they're chase films. They're really cool. Now, that shows us what CGI can also do for, you know, great high-octane action is it. They don't do it in every scene, but when they do, it helps take it to, you know, new levels.
It
keeps it exciting.
It makes it so much easier, but it does. As someone who follows films that you do, you really have to look back with some serious respect for what they had to go through to visually get those, either the chase scenes or the crash scenes or the jump scenes, when they had to, you know, have 10, 15 of the cars on hand at any one time to be able to do those stunts.
Right, exactly. Well, and the coordination. I mean, you have so many different stunt drivers working all at once in unison, and you have to wonder, like, okay, this is like watching a musical in a lot of ways. You know, this is a big Busby Berkeley dance number, and except it's with cars and stunt drivers. And at that point, you have to really appreciate, you know, the skill and the practice and the timing that went into putting those things, those types of scenes together. You know, because it wasn't always CGI. People were, Gone in 60 Seconds was done with actual drivers behind the wheels of actual cars.
It's
a similar situation.
Yeah, the skill level is definitely there. I want to let the listeners know we're talking with Blake Stubbs. He is the man with his hand on the steering wheel, the pulse, the cutting edge of films now. And, of course, in the past, we're talking about your favorite or best ever car movies, car scenes. We've had so many listeners texting in and calling in. Another one is 815. Gran Torino is one that's based around a car. And then also too is the car was one, Christine on the horror end. We'll talk about that and some of those different kind of genres, after the break, but also too is one thing you consider. And we've talked about the fact that it could be cars that are, you know, either from whatever kind of era and whatever kind of horsepower or configuration, but also ages too, because it isn't one of those things. Horror movies, typically, you know, adults like those, kids like them once they get to be teenagers, little kids maybe not so much. But some of the biggest probably car-related movies, probably Speed Racer, Cars for sure, which is a cartoon. You know, kids love those things.
Absolutely. And Cars is such a fun movie for families to watch together. First of all, great voice talent throughout the entire, you know, franchise, because now we're about to have Cars 3 come out. And I still think we're not entirely sure what Cars 3 is going to encompass. But, you know, Pixar sort of hit the nail on the head. Like, cars come to life and they're as animated and interesting and personality filled as human beings. We could build an entire universe around that. And they have. And they've done a great job. I mean, I remember when Cars came out and, you know, you'd be just walking around the grocery store and, you know, you see a little kid in a cart, they're holding a Lightning McQueen, a toy in their hand. And you think, wow, you know, that's kind of much akin to when I was a kid and all I ever wanted was the DeLorean from Back to the Future in Hot Wheel form. Because you always wanted to play and imagine and get to, you know, pretend. And so Cars really makes, you know, the automobile world accessible to young children if they're not able to watch movies like, for example, Death Race 2000, Smokey and the Bandit, The French Connection. You know, those types of movies aren't accessible to kids. But definitely something like Cars is fun and family friendly.
Yeah, and you're seeing the success of those films. They are successful, and they're kind of built around that automotive backdrop. We're letting people know we're talking with Blake Stubbs all about your favorite and some of the best car movies out there. We're going to take a break, and we come back, Blake, we're going to talk about some movies that I know you have ready to go, as far as and some with Chicago connections that are around cars and also the city of Chicago. We did get from the 309 Batman. I think that was filmed part of it here, and of course that's one of the greatest cars of all time. You've got the Mystery Machine with Scooby-Doo, but the Batmobile, right, is huge, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Blues Brothers, I think, as well when we come back. So stay tuned, and 312-981-7200. You can text in, you can call in, and suggest your favorite or get any questions that you may have for Blake. We're going to take a quick break. It's Dane on the road here on 720 WGN.
It's got a cop motor, a 440 cubic inch plant. It's got cop tires, cop suspension, cop shocks. It's a model made before catalytic converters, so it'll run good on regular gas. What do you say? Is it the new Bluesmobile or what? Fix a cigarette lighter.
720 WGN on the road with Dane here, Michigan Avenue, the Allstate Showcase studio. And the topic we're talking about for the next handful of minutes with Blake Stubbs is your favorite and some of the best. I don't know if there's a way to say like the best as far as maybe award winning or whatever, but certainly some favorite car movies. And we have had so many people, 312-981-7200, try to get to a couple of these really quick. So we had Gran Torino, we had Speed Racer, we had White Lightning, another Burt Reynolds movie. My Mother, the Car, Gone in 60 Seconds. There's a ton of those. Lisa's going to print out some of those as well. And we're going to get to Steve. We got Steve on the line here, and you've got one. Steve, welcome to WGN.
Friday Night Lights. The gentleman, his uncle, had pulled up when the other younger boy had picked up his gear after he hurt his leg, and it was a 77 Monte Carlo. Nice. Yellow. It was a beautiful vehicle. I had a 77 and a half Monte Carlo, and that was a big vehicle, and it was a beautiful vehicle, and I loved that car.
See, now Steve here, so Friday Night Lights, people know it. It was a football movie, right? But of course there was cars front and center in the movie that played a big role in kind of the whole feel, kind of the ambiance of the film.
Yes, and even the trucks were great because I'm a truck person.
All right, well, thank you. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for sharing.
You bet.
All right, so then we're going to go to, we got Blake on the line. Blake, are you back with us?
I am indeed. In fact, I was, as soon as he said Monte Carlo, you know what, there's another movie that flashed to mind for me. It's a departure from Friday Night Lights. But Denzel Washington's character drives a Monte Carlo all throughout the movie Training Day.
Yes,
a huge
yes,
amount
does.
Of the movie takes place in the car. And that's another Oscar-winning film. And I'm just thinking, you know, it's weird how one person's going to say, like, a brand of car or a type of car or, you know, something like that, and I'm going to go right to another movie because, you know, my mind works like that. It's all in movies. But I was definitely thinking, as soon as he said Monte Carlo, I was like, I remember that car from Friday Night Lights. And then immediately went to, but I also remember the car from Training Day. And then I'm thinking and playing those scenes in my mind. And I know that's why cars are so important in cinema for people. They immediately remember, you know, their favorite moment from that car, be it a crash or a chase or even just two people talking, you know, much like in, say, Training Day, for instance.
And for the 708, the movie Spin Out is one. The 224 California Kid, Vanishing Point 847 has texted in. So a lot of people, and it's just like you said, and like it was this week when we were thinking about the topic, is at first, you know, a couple movies come to mind. And then once you start going into it, there's so many cars that have had either, you know, the movies about it or leading roles in films. We've got a couple minutes left. So let's talk a little bit about Blues Brothers. I know you wanted to kind of go into that one.
Oh, absolutely. Blues, well, okay, I'm on Chicago radio right now, and I could talk Blues Brothers all day. I'm sure the audience would as well. But the big thing about the Blues Brothers is, as much like, you know, Jake and Elwood, the car is a Dodge Monaco, okay? It's a 74 Dodge Monaco. I made sure I knew the year that car came out. And it definitely put into perspective the fact that a car can be as much a character in a film as any actor. And it didn't matter who the actor was. I mean, that film is littered with big names. But that particular car, by the end of that film, and for those that may out there have not seen the film, I don't want to spoil anything, but the end of the film, you feel for the car as much as you do the characters in the film. So I think that's why Blues Brothers is such an important, and of course the car chases, the car crashes. I mean, I was talking to a buddy of mine the other night, and you know, we're both about the same age, and he was discussing how I remember when I was a kid, I would see the Blues Brothers come on TV, on TBS or whatever, and watching those police cars crash over and over and over again, he would laugh his head off. And to me, that was always just one of the funniest things as well. Plus, when, you know, John Candy and those two troopers crash into the back of the truck and, you know, what car is this? 5-5, car 55, we're in the back of the truck. You know, I mean, just moments like that are classic and funny, and they leave the audience laughing and wanting more. And Blues Brothers, just, I think you can't talk car movies without bringing up Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
You can go Back to the Future with the DeLorean, and I've already done that. Vacation, the Wagon Queen family truckster is an iconic car because it's so hideous looking.
The metallic
P. Buy it anyway.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so then you have, you know, things like the Mad Max films, where all those custom built cars, you know, that are brought together through, you know, this post-apocalyptic era where, you know, they shouldn't even really run, but they do, and gasoline is so rare. The chases and the action is so real and visceral to see. You could just talk car movies all day. I mean, you know, what makes them so great? It's not just the actors. It's also the automobiles.
We can't go too much more into this. We got a break for some of the news and everything. But we had, you know, you think about some of those cars. People are texting them in. You know, like the Starsky and Hutch's car. You had some of those. You've got American Graffiti people. Multiple people have weighed in about that. So here's the thing is, I want to let the listeners know, Blake Stubbs, you and I are going to do an additional podcast about this subject, for sure, car movies, and then additionally movies in general coming up. We'll do that as part of the Dane Neal Show on WGN Plus, so look forward to that. But Blake, before we let you go, just give out the information so people can follow you, maybe follow up and keep up with this conversation online with social media.
The easiest, best, and most direct way to hit me up would be on Twitter, if you follow me at Blake Stubbs. I think it's a great place to talk movies. I mean, I know we're limited to 140 characters, but nobody said we can't tweet multiple times at each other. So if you want to talk movies, throw some great car movies at me. I know there's things I miss. You know, there's race movies we didn't even really get into today. Rush, The Great Race, Days of Thunder. Tons of fun can be had when you talk about movies. And I know that, you know, you and I are going to have a ball, but to get a hold of me, go right to Twitter.
Right to Twitter. Blake Stubbs, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for being on the road today.
Thank you. It was totally a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to the future. We'll talk soon.
All right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to send it to news. It's Dane here on the road on 720 WGN.